No, seriously, I love you guys. Love is sweet.
So are we calling, what are we calling this, the Gonzo New Year? Because I remember when I was a kid, my grandma took me one time to Christmas in July, and it blew my mind. I was like, this Christmas in July, this is amazing.
I was thinking it was
Gonzo
Tines Day.
Well, oh, that's pretty good too.
New Gonzantine's Day.
Miss Kwanzaa.
And some Miss Day team.
No, technically something. The closest holiday is President's Day, but nobody fucking cares about that.
I call it Tuesday.
Yes. So.
Oh, man. Well, and I felt like this is the paradox is that it's like I was so late and awful on getting the gifts, but I was actually a little ahead on the movie this time. So the movie isn't very fresh in my mind, but it's fresh in my nightmares. And I have to say, I told Tim, it's like I downloaded it from the site, and then my computer shut down and didn't want to work for a while.
No.
So I think that my computer was like, it was like trying to protect me from the awesomeness of Radical Jack. So I just got it through Netflix. Which, if anyone looks at my Netflix queue and sees it, they're going to be like, okay, smart horror movie, good documentary, and Billy Ray Cyrus.
I'm totally anyway. Judging you on your Netflix queue right now.
Yeah. I wonder if hipsters do that. Do you think that hipster people, like a hipster goes to go get another, like, you know, he goes to go change his ironic derby or fedora, and then while his friend is changing his hat, his hipster hat, that they look through their queue and they go, oh my God, Milo and Otis, I'm so going to make fun of him.
When he gets done growing his beard, I'm going to so give him business.
That'll give him something to really think about while he's fiddling with his mustache.
Oh my God! You can't have any sort of facial hair anymore or anything. It's ridiculous. It's all facial hair. Like, it's attention seeking these days.
Yeah, remember the good old days where facial hair just meant you were really lazy shaving.
Yeah. Or remember, like, when you had a beard and it meant like you were a guy who could fix things and could change his own oil and, you know.
Now you're a dude.
Throw darts and drink beer. Yeah. Now it's like it's the opposite. It's like.
I can't do
it. So you're a well-groomed prissy pants now.
Yeah, and what is the deal? And I think I've probably said this to you guys either in private or on this before too, but I swear to God, the skinny jeans, they make me miss baggy pants. I miss the gangster pants on kids. The skinny pants on men is just, that's no bueno. I don't get that at all.
You're not leaving anything to the imagination there, Clarence.
Strange. They look like ladies' jeans, and they listen to lady music. They listen to stuff that's like smooth.
Well, that's why I'm so glad I had the wonderful opportunity to pick this week's, this Gonzo Miss, this Gonzo Tines Days movie, which will not feature any of that foo-foo, fainy, little prissy, like motif. This is all out man movie is what this is, and it is all man. It's so man. It's stars a guy that has three first names as his name.
And what is the name of this fun
film? It's called Radical Jack, starring Billy Ray Cyrus.
So what? What was that?
It's all the rough housing.
All my rowdy friends are coming over for my achy breaking
heart. My question is, it's kind of a question and it's kind of a statement too. So, first of all, I have no idea what you found out about this movie, and I'm curious at how you found out about it. And second, how depressing is it that somebody wrote this piece of garbage and someone got paid for it, and how come that's not me? How do I open the door? I can write this stuff. I can write, like, probably six of these a day.
Well, all right, so this came out in
Ray Cyrus movie of the day.
So
yeah, exactly. Like real time theater.
So I was on I-35 heading north yonder toward Dallas. I couldn't remember if I was heading there. I think I was heading there to get some barbecue and maybe.
Is this a Jerry Reed song?
No, no, this is a. Well, no, I'm telling the story of Radical Jack.
I know, it sounds like a Jerry Reed song. Like, I was heading down I-5 and I want to eat some barbecue, and then I stepped in the room.
And then I found myself a lot lizard and had a heck of a time. Oh, wait.
But then I forgot. Never mind. My wife's going to kill me. The song abruptly ends.
This isn't Backseat Annie, or wait, no. Not Backseat Annie. What was it? Flatbed Annie.
Flatbed.
Yeah,
flat
it's
bed.
The same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, really. So.
Anyways, okay, so you were heading for some barbecue.
Desire.
yeah, we're heading there, right? You know, I got my lady on my arms in my car that does not have a bench front seat, but it's close enough. Yeah, and I was heading up there, and I was like, you know what? I gotta take a piss, because this Monster Energy drink was riding hard in my belly, and I was like, oh, we should pull over, maybe get some jerky, you know, while we're waiting, and maybe a scratch ticket, because that's our tradition. We like to buy them really cheap. Scratch tickets on the road is kind of like a fleeting, adventurous moment. That's how exciting we are on good old I-35. And I was in this stone store. I think they called it a Flying J. And we were getting our jerky on and avoiding the toilet seat while I was taking a leak. And, you know, I was all having a good time. And lo and behold, I take a quick turn toward the right on the way out. And what do we have here? A movie section. So I do, and Tim and I in our Reagan days, would produce these very special sections in truck stops. So remembering back the time when we were running around, I decided to. And while going through here, I found this one movie for like $2. It was Radical Jack. It was in a sleeve. It's one of those movies, those DVDs that you get where it's just the sleeve.
It's the paper sleeve. It's not even a case.
It didn't even have the dignity to come in a case.
What now? No, what was the name of that movie?
Radical Jack. So.
But you know what? But that's probably it's Radical Jack getting punched, because he was more on the receiving end rather than the giving end.
Yeah, I didn't say which way those punches were going, and that's about the level of sound effect for him too.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, I gotta get this. The cover alone, Billy Ray Cyrus is straddling a motorcycle while something behind him is blowing up, and I think they photoshopped in the lady behind him because. She's not riding directly behind him. I think she's kind of just hanging off the edge. It's very
yeah.
poorly done, which also convinced me to get this movie. So, so I got it, and I'm like, all right, let's do this. And that was it. That's the story of how I found Radical Jack.
Well, it's troubling. You know how when you see a really good movie. And it sticks with you, or you even see a movie that maybe you don't really enjoy at first, but then you realize that you kind of got more out of it than you thought. You know, it kind of sticks with you. This thing stuck with me because it was just such a mess on so many levels. I think this is the most all-encompassing mess of a movie, because all movies that really seem to watch, there's something wrong, and oh, this doesn't make sense, or this is stupid, or this is bad. But what's bizarre is It's like a version of Walker Texas Ranger that's just scattered all over the place. And they start with a theme and then they just forget it.
Yeah.
And then with the flashbacks and then the day one and the hours, it really didn't have anything to And that small town is, I didn't realize that small towns have that much of a hotbed of arms dealing.
Well, so this movie came out in 2000. It was riding the wave of popularity that Billy Ray was having. Was that his Achy Breaky Heart? No, that was after Achy Breaky Heart.
No, I think that was after, because I want to say that he was...
He wasn't getting this kind of work before Achy Breaky
Heart. No, he was kind of dead. Well, and Achy Breaky Heart, I mean, it didn't really... Billy Ray to me was kind of like a Michael Bolton, Celine Dion, where no one said they liked him, but yet he was a multi-millionaire, so somebody was buying it.
Well,
but I don't remember him making a lot of movies. I just remember him, that song, and touring. So.
Well, you'll be happy to know, and I'm sure you saw on the Facebook page that that he came out with a sequel to Achy Breaky Heart called Achy Breaky 2 just this year. Actually, a couple weeks ago. He did it with this rapper called Buck 22.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think this movie kind of forced him back into doing sequel to Tony.
They have me cuz I'm sipping on that good Kentucky whiskey. They have me cuz I'd rather be lucky than good.
And that's enough of that.
Yeah, I'd say that's one of the times, like, when you've played a music clip, and I've been really happy that I can't really get a good audio.
I'm
like, thank God.
You should see the video.
The story was about as well put together as Radical Jack. It's basically like, it was kind of, they rip off Andy Griffith, and then the kid grows up to be a rapper, and then they're on a spaceship. And the aliens are all ladies that are almost naked and had like paint drawn on them, and they're dancing to this song.
Oh, and it should be noted that they are twerking like his daughter.
Yes.
Whoa.
And they pretty much are
naked. So
that is so strange when I think about that. That's his daughter.
Yeah.
And I don't really and he seems to me like he's kind of one of those. Well, because, you know, he actually had a quote when he said about her. He said that, you know, he was proud of her and that she was an individual and that, you know, she's finding her own way. But he's probably just kind of happy because there's still money involved, probably. You know, that there's still... I can't imagine that he has a lot of money left.
Miley's doing... Well, okay, we were going to talk about Miley anyway. She's doing the classic I'm an adult now singer thingy. Yeah. She's got to shed the Disney off of her. Which is what she's doing right now. I mean, Britney went through that... it. Christina Aguilera went through it. Alanis Morissette, to an extent, went through it.
Well, Alanis Morissette was that you can't do that on television.
Well, I
he's also a Canadian pop star for a while.
Yeah. So this is the I'm an adult now phase, which is fine. I don't have problem with that. She looks kind of goofy. She's not that attractive either, but I'm not one to gossip.
But you know what? The point, the one thing that I think about with like the Miley and all that, and Tim, you know what I'm talking about, because we watched an awkward video when you were kind enough to come visit me. But we all go through these really weird, awkward phases, and it's like, gosh, I could imagine if it was like a public view, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everyone got to see you go through those, and I was just like, she's going to be probably really embarrassed at some point of some of this behavior.
Well, and the thing that also got me wondering about that music, the music video, was that it was a sequel. And I'm having a hard time remembering any songs that I've ever made that were a sequel to an original popular song being... like, good. Like, movies...
What about... Didn't Meatloaf? Meatloaf tried to do a Bat Out of Hell, too.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's just like, what the hell? Has there ever been any, like, sequels to songs that have been, like, really good? Like, didn't they do... Like, and I'll take it a step further. What about those, like, dumbass trilogy songs? Like, what Guns N' Roses did... with like November Rain and it all ended with Axl Rose hanging out with a dolphin and laughing at him in our face because we were so dumb enough to go along with the whole trilogy.
That video is strange though. That it's so self-indulgent. November Rain, but I like the song kind of.
or Estranged. That was the other part.
Oh, what is the trilogy? It's November Rain, Estranged, and what else?
Is it Don't Cry?
Yeah, good job.
I like GNR a little bit for a while.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Dude, you know what? Have you guys heard their last record? I heard it actually is not that bad, but a friend of mine told me.
Yeah. Well, and then Metallica did the Unforgiven 2.
I
liked Unforgiven.
Yeah.
I don't. Actually, that's one of my least favorite Metallica songs.
Because of that old lady.
Marion Faithful? That's the part that I like about it, because that's like a horror movie song. That's scary when she said la 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 la. It's like, wow, that's terrifying. But first time we're like, oh, we're fun. But anyways, we're getting sidetracked.
Well, yeah. So at any rate, I challenge anyone out in Gonzo Land to come up with a sequel of a song that was either as good or better than the original, and it's quite a challenge. Maybe we could tack that on as an entry to Tim's contest.
The contest that no one enters.
No. We're still piling through all the entries. It's just we just love the response. Yeah. That's all.
It's so much.
We're probably down to 2 downloads from 3, because I haven't been downloading and I just listen on the phone.
So if you, a trusted listener, can come up with a better song that is a sequel to an original song.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
So the challenge has been laid down. Let's do this. So anyway, all right. Let's talk about this movie. It came out 2000. Let's hop on Billy Ray's bike and go through this thing. So it starts out.
So basically,
yeah, go ahead.
Did they say what his military background? So he's a drifter, but yet these guys, the CIA finds him. But what did they say exactly? Was he like a Navy SEAL or what was he?
I think
he was
like John Rambo. I think
he was CIA.
Yeah, he was CIA.
Okay,
They would use him to as undercover to like broker arms deals and then bust the guys.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
That was his thing, because he blended.
And then the most unterrifying name of a villain, a man named Roland.
Yeah, is the son of the guy who's doing it, the drug deal. So he's like, and that's actually my favorite part.
No, it's so, it's so
every time his dad and Rowan interact, it just fills my heart with joy, because his dad rails on him every time.
And the old man was an awful actor, and he has the worst teeth. That old man's bottom teeth were dark.
That's George Buck Flower, sir. He was in They Live. He was in The Fog. He was in Back to the Future. That guy actually has been in a lot of movies. That was one of the things I liked, because I remember that voice, you know, listening to this guy, it was like molasses coming through an ocean, which really was just a smoker's lung. But I remember I heard that somewhere, so I looked him up and was like, yeah, he was one of the homeless dudes that turned on Louis Gossett Jr., or I think that's who, no, not Louis Gossett Jr., David Keith and Roddy Piper at the end of They Live, right, where he shows up in the white suit and he's like, I sold my people out and all this other stuff. Oh, he was also in Escape from New York. He was in Munchie. He's been in a lot of movies. So I was, and I think this was like his. I think that was might have been no, it wasn't his last. It wasn't his last movie. But it was close.
Well, but he was a terrible actor. He was. I told Tim my favorite person in the movie, and the guy who I thought was the most talented, was the really tall, balding hillbilly thug friend of Roland, the guy who ended up getting exploded.
That guy was a Roadhouse reject right there.
That guy was amazing. This movie's a Roadhouse reject.
but here's the movie's
like Roadhouse, but not good. And Roadhouse isn't good.
here's a little bit of the dad and the son. Roland and old Buckflower.
Old Pop.
What's this?
Open it.
So what, am I supposed to be impressed?
You idiot.
Ooh, he slapped him.
Yes. Awkward silence.
There you go.
Listen, I took care of the problem, all right? He can't touch us now.
The man is CIA. He was a Navy SEAL. He served in Central America.
There you go.
His code
name, yeah, got it.
Radical Jack.
Yeah. Well, right now, Radical Jack. He's
Jack is not at the hospital. Checked this morning. He walked out sometime last night.
So that's George Buckflower. He's probably, I mean, if anything, he was a branch to hang on to. While surviving this wave of a shitty movie.
Yeah, it's bad. So the whole thing is they're doing arms deals for a place called Hope, which is a little tiny, supposed to be kind of backwoodsy town. But it seems to be a town that has everything, that you don't see it on camera, but there's a health food store, there's all kinds of other things that they talk about. But so somehow these people have all landed in this town. So to me, it's like, and definitely they wanted to do an homage to Roadhouse, I guess. I don't know.
Like an indirect sequel.
Homage or insult? I think insult.
Yeah. So.
The guy, like, this was going to be his last deal and he was retiring? Was that, or he was going to turn it over to Roland,
yeah,
right?
Turn it over to Roland.
Okay. Hey, Roland.
So that's happening on that side. And the other side, the CIA tracks down Jack. And the whole movie opens up with, I think, the one song that Barry Cyrus did for this movie. And it was rocking, let me tell you. And what proceeded was, it ended up being one of the worst, like, motorcycle chases I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. It was a very cautious chase.
Yes. It was a chase that involved turn signals.
That's what I was just thinking of. Like, he was turn signaling, he was yielding properly.
Reckless. And the way that they cornered him, it's like they just had people standing all in a row, and he just kind of like, I give up, and he stopped. He didn't like jump. He didn't do any jumps with his bike, which one would expect in a
No, he didn't
movie.
Even spray any. He didn't even spray any gravel on him. You know, he didn't even like when they cornered him. He didn't like stop and like slide into it. You know, and throw gravel on him and like cut the other way. He just stopped, and he was like, "What do you want?" And I hated it because he whispered.
Yeah.
All the time, all of his lines. I don't know what the hell you want from me. My family was killed. Didn't you see the flashback? You know, I mean,
did you see my flashback?
Did you see when the screen goes that kind of putrid yellow color? That's a flashback, and that's where my family was killed.
Can't you see that flashback that will just stop for no apparent reason?
Yeah. So he was haunted by like some arms deal gone wrong, and his family got murdered because of it. So that's why he like fled and went on the run. He didn't want to do it anymore. But they cornered him, and they cornered him into one last job, and he decided to do it. And one of the things I noticed for the government types, the movie was so cheap they couldn't get like all black suburban like vehicles. They got like Volvos and like Broncos and stuff as government vehicles.
And did you see how bad their suits looked too?
They
didn't look good at all. They were terrible.
Oh, yeah, that distracted me. When the guy showed up, the head CIA guy, and then he's standing there, his suit's all baggy around his shoes. His jacket.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
He noticed the same thing I did. He was like David Byrne from Stop Making Sense, you know, like, find yourself, I'm a CIA agent. What's an oversized suit?
Neat and fucking tiny.
Yeah, oh, God. That guy was terrible, too. Boy. I'm sorry I'm going to jump to the end part, but when the big reveal involves him, that guy was such a crappy actor. It was just kind of like,
Neat and fucking tiny.
Let's get
delivery was so
he,
bad.
Let's, he should get his due. So here you go. Hang on.
I knew you could do it. Dix.
His name's Dix.
What are you doing here?
Making
Thanks, sure everything's
there we go.
Bap. Oh.
What the hell was that?
That's neat, Jack. You know how it would work.
You didn't have to do that.
You son of a bitch. That worked for me the whole time.
I only needed to eliminate Riotti.
Yes.
He's getting a little too big for his own britches.
We've kind of ripped through this movie pretty quickly because we're just like,
Well, now there's some redeeming factors. Like one, the mullet never gets old. I always crack up when I see the mullet. That's awesome.
You know what I like? I like his subtle sense of humor using hack jokes. Because I saw it coming, but I was like, there's no way that somebody actually really wrote this down on a Commodore 64 or whatever they wrote this script on. Because when he crawls out from under the bed being the manly superstar, you know, and he's like, did you get that number on the truck? What truck? The truck that hit me. I was like, are you kidding me? He really just used that? That's amazing.
So he goes into this town on the first bit in town. Okay, so the love interest. Let's talk about her. First of all, nice side nipple on it. I mean, if it was one thing, but the acting was bad, at least there was some scenery to look at, which I can always, like, you know, give a big thumbs up to. But it turns out that, of course, that she's, like, in this terrible relationship with the arms dealer's son, Rowan. And he's classic A douchebag. You know, she gets invited to go to some bar that's run by some military guy, Radical Jack shows up, and they're like, all of a sudden, the movie starts out great, because they start hassling, you see a bunch of Rowan's lackeys, hacking on this colored person, and of course, Billy Ray steps in, and stares him down, and then they just walk away without a fight or anything.
Is that the first time when he gets in the fight when the guy's trying to put his groceries in the truck? Okay, I couldn't remember because I knew that there was
that guy. So
and what was strange too is when that scene happened. I mean, sure, it was nice that he stepped in and but it was almost like,
oh, you know what he said?
I don't know. Like, they were funny.
You know what he said? You know what turned the tables on the lackeys? He said. You know, I ran into a guy who tried to stop me from where I was going. Cut his little tiny nuts off. And then that scared them away.
Well, I the thing that I hate the most in this movie is there's a lot of things, but there's this inconsistency where it's like he's portrayed as this badass guy. But they don't really know his background. But he backs a group of guys that could have easily beat him up. And they do later, all beat him up. And then the other thing that just keeps driving me crazy is there's these plot summaries through dialogue. And like a good movie, you don't have to summarize the plot. It just happens on its own. And when he's talking to the guy at the truck, the guy in the orange truck, the black guy goes, he sums up Roland and the dirty deeds and everything. He sums the whole plot up.
I was waiting for Rick Moranis to come out and look at everybody and go, everybody got that?
Rick Moranis actually would have had a lot of screen time because there were several times and it turned into
exposition.
You know, okay. Yeah, oh, and so by the way, in case you don't get, you know, you get lost. Oh. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
the job interview for the bartending position. The guy's like, so where are you from? Nowhere. And it's like,
okay.
It's like, okay, you're hired. And I was like, yeah. It's like, I've got a place to stay, and you know, don't go disappearing on me in 2 days. And that's it. And it's like, you're
there's a Simpsons episode when they go on the lam and they go to like a, like, you know, like a Arkansas or some backwoods kind of place. And there's like the flow, you know, kind of like from Alice at the diner. And whenever they say anything, like they just ask a question, she's like, I like you. It was like that with the bartender. It made me think like he's like, where are you from? Nowhere. I like you. You can come stay in my house. And like he just hands the keys over and everything, and he's just like, he's the greatest.
They could have just, like, later on, he's like, oh, you're military, I can tell. It's like, why don't you just have that conversation earlier?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm ex-military. Oh, okay, I was in the military. I know how that is.
The old guy was eyeballing Billy Ray, being all sweaty. And building what looked like to be a wooden dumpster.
He was working, and then he was. It was strange because I thought I had missed something, like I fell asleep or maybe had a stroke, hopefully, or something during the movie, because I was watching him like, okay, why is he suddenly sighing and spilling water on himself? What's going on?
He poured water all over his mullet after the workout. It was all hot and sweaty, and he just had it to cool down.
You know what a good way to cool down is? Cut the fucking mullet off.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah, shaving your head. It's hot.
My mullet is a barking. I need to cool down.
Well, but you know, I've met some pretty charismatic people in my time. I like to think that you both are very charismatic and can, you know, win people over very quickly. I mean, Billy Ray is not the guy. I mean, he didn't have a dazzling personality. He wasn't particularly attractive. He didn't have a nice aura about him. But, like, all of these people were just drawn to him. Like, the blonde woman. Her friend. Yeah, they were just all like, wow, this mysterious stranger. And then it wasn't like he was really insightful or funny. He's just this guy who whispers really lame jokes and threats.
I had a 2 points that... Well, it didn't bother me, I guess, but... Well, one did. Okay, so his love interest is... what's her name? Is she Michelle Pfeiffer's sister?
Denise Pfeiffer?
Dee Dee Pfeiffer.
Dee Dee Pfeiffer.
Dee Dee, sorry.
Yeah, all the acting talent went to one person, that family.
And Michelle Pfeiffer's not that good.
That's what I mean. I'm just saying, all of it went to Michelle, and Michelle's not that good, so... and then point two is, and this is delving into this intricate plot. So the little town is all crooked. The sheriff's in on it. And I guess the deputy was in on it. And so the deputy guy wants out because it's getting too hot selling missiles to people. I don't quite, anyway. He wants out. So he goes, and of course he goes to Roland, and he tells Roland he wants out, and you know what's coming after that. Roland has run him down. But that's not the problem I have. It's like, okay, you're an idiot. You shouldn't have told the criminal that you want to get out.
And most importantly, why the hell does the sheriff of the town drive a fucking Chevy station wagon?
Well,
I know. It was like, maybe, I was like, is his other car in the shop?
It was like, it didn't even say sheriff on it.
Is it a tax write-off to use your own car in that town? Or?
Well, and then they kill him, and then they you know, they go to his house. They send goon, you know, forward at his house. No, they send the sheriff. They send the new sheriff. Or is it the sheriff? Yeah, it's the sheriff. He was always the sheriff. They send the crooked sheriff over to the house to tell him that he died, to tell his wife.
It looks like a little Baldwin. It looks like a little, like, kind of like head contusion Baldwin.
And his poor Southern accent, he goes ahead and tells the wife that her husband's dead. And what her reaction is to immediately come.
Well,
no, you're wrong because he tells her, and first of all, she doesn't seem like she's upset. Like, if someone comes and tells you that a spouse is hurt, I would think you would lose your mind. And she's just kind of like, what? And then he's like, yeah, he got stupid or something. And then he moved his hat and his gun, and he's pointing a gun on her, and then that's when she starts going,
of a ditz, but he was also crooked. Like, the whole town was crooked. So the wife knew that the sheriff was on the take, but it was like he just wanted to pull out, you know, and then, you know, that's what happens, and she knew it was coming up. So, of course, you know, she throws herself on him, and they get it on. Again, another boob scene. If I was Joe Bob Briggs, I'd be counting two pairs of boobs so far. So far. And of course, guy, you knew, that's where I'm with you, John, on the kind of writing in this. It was obviously foreshadowed that he was just going to bang her and then shoot her, and that's exactly what he did. So, you know.
But it's pretty for this movie, I guess, but.
It was pretty well.
It was kind of a dark bit for this movie, you know. It's the light. Well,
no, I think the best way to sum up the movie is inconsistent, because, but first of all, and I don't mean to poo-poo anyone's good time, you know, but I was kind of like, that lady, if she's a husband's sheriff, first of all, she looked way too young and pretty. Because the sheriff looks kind of old. I don't know. Maybe it's a small town, and that's, you know, like. But then that, you're like, you and I think, Tim, like, we just talked about. It's just like, boy, she went really down a dark path really quickly, and you know. But I mean, I guess I don't. But she didn't seem like scared or like freaked out. Like the guy had a gun on her. She was like, well, let's see if we can. I'm like, you would just be like. Freaking out, and
I don't know about that. I mean, it is a town, it is the one town in America where all the arms deals takes place, so she's probably seen plenty of guns.
Probably, I mean, that is a local industry there.
Yes.
No, my
guns yeah. and butter, literally.
Well, another point of contention with this scene is, I don't care who she is, she's not walking around the house like that. She's like clean. She's like wiping off a table, and she's wearing like one piece of clothing.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's why they write movies, really.
So
Billy Ray Cyrus is a superhero in this movie. I can dream a little bit.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's probably actually the biggest falsity right there. Billy Ray Cyrus is actually has charisma. That's the whole thing. That's the biggest. I mean. I believe anything, but I mean, he's like the least charismatic. But that little sheriff guy was so awful. I think that he was trying so hard to do a southern accent that it came across like an Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, he definitely was no Roscoe P. Coltrane or anything like that. That's for sure.
No, he was terrible, and he was so uncomfortable for me to look. Yeah, he was terrible. He was absolutely terrible.
How can you not get over the great charisma that Billy Ray Cyrus has when the owner of the bar, after Billy Ray gets done building the shit box, asks him, buy you a beer? Billy Ray's like, there's shit in the woods.
Oh, I know. I wonder if like the guy who wrote the script. If he was just like nailed it, you know, like he's just like he's writing this dialogue, and he's like, this is how dudes talk. This is how dudes who build boxes and sweat and wear bandanas talk, right?
I feel like the person who wrote this thought it was good.
I think it might have been Billy Ray. I probably should have looked at the screen.
He's writing under a pseudonym.
Of course, Dee Dee knows what's going on with all the murdering and the sheriff and whatnot, right? And of course, what's the next thing that pops into her mind? Hey, I want to leave this guy now, even though he just ordered the execution of the town sheriff and his wife. It's like, I want out of this relationship. It's like, what the hell?
One thing that did surprise me about the movie, which, I mean, you would have think that they would have taken the obvious turn, but I thought that Dee Dee's friend, you know, the other bartender lady, I was like, she's a goner. She's going to be killed.
Oh.
Because, like, I figured that that was going to be, like, she was going to die, and then they were going to be, you know, then it was going to be like, you know, now it's more revenge, and she was, you know, going to, but I was like, no, she actually okay.
Yeah, I thought they were going to give her the, Future Force, the main girl's friend got killed right away.
Oh, Roxy?
Yeah,
Roxy, when she was...
The only reason I remember that name is because that was my favorite part of the movie, because when she made that cat sound, remember? When she got stabbed. Sorry, flashback.
So, just on a quick side note, one of the trivia for Dee Dee Pfeiffer on IMDb says that she once worked as a cocktail waitress at a mud wrestling bar, dressed as a monkey, danced in a Disneyland parade, and delivered radiators.
Delivered radiators?
Yeah, it's like, that's a
really specific delivery job.
It must have been someplace in the desert where a lot of people go through radiators to actually have a dedicated radiator deliverer.
So you go from waitress in a mud wrestling bar to monkey to Disneyland to radiator delivery.
To actress.
Allegedly, actress.
She gets a lot of work. She had a lot of work.
Ever had moments, too, when she was just like, oh, I should have never left the radiator delivery business.
Oh, my God.
Actually, after I saw her acting, I kind of feel that way that you should have never left the radiator delivery
radio. And I only had to deliver like one radiator a week because they're radiators. But
here it is. But you install it? No, I just deliver it. Here it is. Well, no, you at least take it out of the back of your truck? No, that's.
Do you have any
lady
parts you can deliver? No, just radiators.
Just radiators. That's all I'm qualified for.
The name of the company is just radiators. That's all we do.
That's all
yes.
We do.
Owned, of course, as part of the franchise of Dr. Detroit.
Yeah. It's in the same strip mall. Chicken Shack and Miss Radiator.
We deliver tens of radiators a week.
Yeah, like, sometimes we had a really good year. We delivered 23 of them all year.
Yeah,
but two of them were returned though, so it's okay.
There's a bar fight.
Piece of crap.
I think it's a bar fight.
Yeah, some explosion.
Yeah, Rowan gets jealous because Billy Ray Cyrus pours a martini for the waitress lady, even though she's like delivering a drink. So that sends him over the edge.
Bar fight.
Oh, you know what else too? What I forgot a point. They never show this person as kind of like Vera, Norm's wife in Cheers. Rowan has a wife, and you never see her because he's married. Remember?
Oh.
Because they ran out of budget for actors.
Yeah, that's right. He was so Dee Dee was sleeping around with this dude even though he was married, and she's like all saintly and angelic all of a sudden. What a bitch.
Her friend dated Roland too.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, and I think we might have saw some of her boobs in this movie too. Not to really take it down a notch, but that's what I do.
But it just kind of, what I have problems with some of these movies is that there's no development too. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like an accelerated time. It's like, hi, I'm Dee Dee Pfeiffer. Nice to meet you. And then you're like, hi, I'm Billy Ray Cyrus. Nice to meet you. I love you.
Yes, it was like one of the worst love stories ever. It was obviously a dude. It was obviously a dude who's never been in love to like try to like tell a love story like that. It's so ham-fisted.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It just and then he kind of kept doing his whole awkward moments, and he'd just whisper, "I can't. I'm having a flashback. I'm alive." You know,
something happened one time.
He kind of sounded like JR.
Yeah,
you sound like good old JR.
Yeah, did I? Ooh, that's a good thing.
I know, Stone Cold.
I know who I'm going for. I know who I'm going for at Christmas.
Oh, I know.
Christmas at the Halloween. I'm tired. Sorry.
You can go as JR in Christmas. Who's gonna stop you?
Yeah, it's true. It's like my family won't know what to think of it. Why is he wearing a black cowboy hat?
He does it every year. It's fine.
So basically, they go back and forth. Rowan is like, "It's my town. I'm a doofus, and I can't handle it." And his dad belittles him at every step. It's like he goes out of his way to call him a dipshit, which is hilarious. Then they go back and forth. Then they finally get around to kicking the shit out of Billy Ray Cyrus. Oh, I'm sorry, Radical Jack. So that's basically what they did, and they beat him up so bad that he was bedridden. But they didn't put him in the hospital. Well, he was in the hospital for a little bit.
No, but he got out. Here's what I want to know too, and this is okay. So there's two things. So first of all, that's the assistant bar, or that's the other waitress. That was her house. And that house was massive.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how she could afford like that nice of a house and a waitress salary. I know small towns, it's easy to buy houses.
She probably, well, secondly, she inherited it, you know, maybe, you know. Maybe it's the family house.
I went with like it was her folks' house, but they were out of town.
Yes.
Okay.
Permanently, because she killed the whole thing
when he goes, is there a health food store in town? And then like, here's a list. And then she brings in this seaweed, this nasty water, and he drinks it, and it has healing powers.
Apparently, was it does wheatgrass cure broken ribs? Because I think it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And what else would you put in there? Like, what else? I mean, because he would have had a concussion, probably a fractured skull, a broken nose, broken ribs.
Fractured mullet.
Well, they wouldn't beat him until he was almost dead. They just would have killed him in the first place. So,
yeah, really, because at that point, like, if you own all the town and you're,
you know,
it's a crooked town, you're on the payroll, and you know, like the cops are already doing arms dealing. What's one dead hillbilly? Or did they already know that he was CIA at that point?
With no backstory that anybody knows, take him, dig a hole, kill him, throw him in it, you're done.
You drove the CIA.
You sound like you've done this before, Tim.
That's not.
Yeah.
We're not talking about me. We're talking about
Radical
Jack. Why do you think he moved? Yeah. What was that again?
Radical Jack.
Who?
Radical Jack?
So while this is happening, the dad, you know, because he's smart, starts digging around on the background of this Radical Jack guy. And he uncovers that, and that's what the scene alluded to earlier was, they uncover that he was in the CIA, Navy SEAL, Boy Scout of American, super soldier guy. Whereas I think what they referred to him as a redneck Rambo. And of course they're like, okay, we gotta get this handled. And his son is throughout the whole movie like, I'll take care of it. And this is leading up to like the final like scene, where like Radical Jack gets better. He gets a shitload of grenades, and he starts like staking out where this deal's gonna happen, right? So the old guy and Rowan are there, you know, moving things along nicely. I think the blonde is in there some way. I don't know if she's a prisoner or whatnot, but I don't know.
Oh yeah, they kidnapped her at that point. Yeah, at this point it's like, whatever.
You know what?
come on.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. None of this matters.
So yeah, exactly. So then it's this big climax, right? So the other end of the deal for the arms deal guy is some dude that we come to find out like Radical Jack like knows, and
yes,
I'm gonna keep saying it too.
What was his name? His name was like some cliche, like Ramon or something like that, or like Sanchez. Or
yeah,
maybe like
his
one
hair
name,
was lost
like,
his back and it was trimmed. He did not have a mullet,
yeah.
So he was obviously that guy.
I did like that he tried to bargain with Billy Ray at one point where he was kind of like, hey, that wasn't my fault. About your wife and kids? That wasn't me. It wasn't my fault.
Yeah, because they were like partners, weren't they? Wasn't he like ex-CIA or something?
He was. He was. He'd help him do the fake arms deals, but then he really took one.
Yeah.
So he was a bastard.
Yeah. So he was a turncoat, and it turns out that he was responsible for the Radical Jack's wife and kid getting murdered. So it's like this big like Mexican standoff, but it's not as interesting or intriguing, and. Somehow the grenades like went out or whatever, but then Rowan like in the most weakly foreshadowed like turn like says he's gonna take care of it, and he shoots his dad dead. So that was way too easy.
Well, he didn't even like die right away, so Rowan couldn't even do that.
No.
Well, didn't he shoot his dad in the shoulder, kind of? I mean, because then the helper was with him.
I think he shot him in the heart, and he just didn't die. Which,
oh.
I mean,
what's guy's was, probably because that guy had too much whiskey, cheese, and cholesterol covering his heart, probably.
He was
bullet didn't convince
him. He was still belittling his son from the grave.
You can't do anything right.
Spooky.
I like your baby booty.
Spooky paternal.
He's got
abuse.
A brother who. He's got a brother who has a whole bunch of fast food like Long John Silver restaurants, and he's like, I love your brother better.
Your brother's better.
In every way, Roland. I named you Roland as an embarrassment.
So they get cornered, right? What the hell happens?
Cool. We're running out of steam. There's gunfire. Well, then the dad is still alive. There's the thing where the girl shoots.
And then Rowan says, "You know, I'd prefer to watch you slowly die for the rest of your life." And I'm like, "Wait a minute! Everyone is slowly dying for the rest of their life. What kind of statement is that?" So, of course, at the end, we didn't know it. The lady comes through. She grabs a gun and pops some people.
She shoots the CIA guys who are gonna kill him, so it'd be neat and fucking tidy. And
he wanted one last kiss, and then she grabs a gun and shoots him. And that was after the CIA guy offed the dad because he wanted to be neat and fucking tidy.
Didn't the CIA guy kill some of his own CIA guys too?
It was just a lust of bullets and blood at that point.
No, I don't think he killed the other CIA guys. I think he came in and killed the dad. And then I think, did she shoot him? I don't know how they all ended up dying. It doesn't matter.
Who cares?
What's your fucking plan now, neat and fucking tidy? Which is what this movie wasn't. Yeah. So it turns out CIA knew of all this history that Jack didn't, which, way to go, CIA training. You really got clued into that one. And he tells the whole story. So, of course, we knew that this was going to happen. We wanted everybody to get wiped out on this deal. And of course, the lady comes through, shoots him. Now, everybody else except for Jack and the lady are alive. And I think they ride off on a motorcycle or something. So,
yeah.
Copyright 2000 Perilous Film Company.
It was an entertaining train wreck. It was better than Shanghai Surprise. It was bad.
I think we were all convinced that Shanghai Surprise was the absolute worst movie that we've seen.
That's the worst movie I've ever seen, I think. And this was bad, but it was like, but there was at least a little
things
you could
kind of get there was some so awful it was hilarious. And then, you know, of course there are boobs, which I'm okay saying that I prefer, you know, if a movie's not going to be that good, then throw a couple boobies in there just to keep me distracted. And that's what kind of feels like this whole movie. They had things thrown in just to keep you distracted. Like even like the corny one-liners or the stupid fight scenes. It wasn't anything that went together. It was just enough to keep you distracted, really.
An R-rated Texas Walker Ranger, and that wasn't very well, but they let the interns ride or something, you know, like it was the intern's last day on Walker Texas Ranger, and they'd had a really good summer, and they said, you know what would be nice, let's let the interns ride an episode. Mm-hmm. And then they came up with Radical Jack.
Yeah, I mean, it's so...
I didn't get any punches! I just said the name intensely, because I said... I'm not gonna say it now. It's hollow now.
I don't care. I'm doing it anyway.
So yeah. I would say what do you guys think? I think you should watch it. I think you should not fast forward, if only to be distracted.
It's an okay enough movie where it's silly enough, and I think really just to watch the Billy Ray's performance with the weird whispering and the one-liners I think it's entertaining. It's bad entertaining.
It's watchable.
I mean, it's a crappy movie, but at least it doesn't hate you, you know, while you're watching it. It doesn't laugh in your face while you're watching it. Those are the movies that are just like a like a split, like a split ball pitch, a split finger pitch.
Well, it's like at least with this movie, it's like, what's interesting about it, because I almost thought it was kind of a comedy, like, oh, it's not taking itself seriously.
And then
that's almost what the amazing thing to watch. You go, whoa, they are totally serious. This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is so bad. And someone thinks it's on some plan. And then my mind starts going and thinking in all these different directions. And I just start going, I wonder if there's anyone that like really likes this movie. Not ironically, you know, not, you know, like taking the piss out of it, but really it's just like, oh, like they're switching around at night and they go, all right, Radical Jack's on. Or they own the DVD. I wonder if there's somebody that, like, somewhere that they, thank you, that they really, like, I'm like, what kind of a person truly enjoys, and I'm not judging. I'm not judging at all. I'm not saying that I'm better or they're better or I'm more highfalutin.
Is
but,
somewhere is their favorite guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
No, not even that, Tim. I wonder if there's somebody somewhere that, like, this is a movie they genuinely like. You know how, like, we go, oh, man, Blair Witch and Goodfellas are so good. Someone goes, you know what, I love this movie, right? You should watch it with me. And then they look forward to introducing it to their friends, and their friends are no longer their friends after they watch it with them.
You know what? I know we all enjoy it thoroughly, but this is kind of like professional wrestling almost, right? Where, you know, it's the writing is not really that great. It kind of attracts the mullet crowd anyway.
Yeah.
I am a fan. I love wrestling. I don't believe everything. I know that it's scripted and fake and whatnot. And that's kind of how I approach Radical Jack, right? Like, there are some people, I know you're asking,
yeah.
John. I know there's some people that actually, like, believe that what happens in professional wrestling happens. It's like the same kind of question,
yeah,
about people who, like, actually, like, own the Criterion Collection version of Radical Jack, you know?
Yeah. I wonder what a Criterion Collection would be, like, for, like, if you were to make that movie, like, a Criterion version, like, you know, you'd have to have audio commentary, and you know that they probably, the only time they really did different, separate shots was just probably just to change the tape.
It's just a picture of the staff at the craft table eating, and Billy Ray was,
yeah,
over the film. The commentary is just him.
I don't know. It's like, man, I don't even remember this.
I don't know. I was doing a lot of drugs then.
Did he? I thought he was kind of a staunch.
He was probably clean.
Yeah. See, but that would make more sense. It's almost like, well, he was on drugs, but he's not. And it's like, ooh, that's
he might have been. He could have been a drunk though. Country guys are oftentimes drunks.
So. Yeah, he did have a few of them. Colorado.
Guys,
what do they call it? Colorado school.
My
cops.
Experience, country,
yeah,
guys usually are drunks. So.
No,
yeah.
Is they like when the country people have like a substance abuse problem? It's almost always booze. There's a,
yeah,
few. There's a few that like. There's a couple. There's one lady. I can't remember who it is. Tanya Tucker? Is she the one that's a train wreck? No, it's...
Yeah, well, yeah, no, Tanya Tucker was married to George Jones.
Oh.
And George Jones had a... Well, George Jones, you know, the infamous story where he drove the riding lawnmower into town to get booze because she hit his car keys. And he was going to... And so he drove, like, a riding lawnmower or something, like, 4 miles or something. They're ridiculous. But yes,
amazing.
He did have a substance abuse problem. You've never heard that story? Yeah, look it up. It's George Jones and the riding lawnmower.
I was like, that's a cover song right there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know the old hack joke, too, about what happens when you play a country music record backwards.
you get your dog back, you get your wife back,
yeah,
get your car back.
Get your car back, yeah. It's so hack, but it's kind of silly. That's like the most sophisticated Bazooka Joe joke ever. But anyway, so can we put a do rag on this? I was gonna say a bow on this Radical Jack.
Let's
put a
do rag
up and
right on into the sunset.
Let's tie this do rag on, yeah, because I got a little bit of time and we got some presents to get to.
Yes, we're celebrating Gonzo Tines Day, Gonza. New Gonzo's year, this is the day that we celebrate, and we all take a minute and thank of all the bountiful blessings that we've given each other, like
I don't care if it's not Christmas. This we're good.
Is that Christmas the theme from Santa Claus the movie?
No. Okay. That would just be
The Hooray for Santa Claus. Have you ever seen that one? The Martian Santa Claus versus the one? I saw the riff tracks of it this year. It was great.
You kind of hinted that we're getting to presents, but I always wondered, like, I would love, I was talking with Tim about this. I would love to, like, get a database of all the movies that have made the bad movie circuit. Like, there's riff tracks, Cinematic Titanic, Mystery Science Theater 2000. There's this one guy in Kansas City that does it, where he completely rips off MST3K, where it's like he's in a movie theater, and it's about to be overrun by zombies, and he has two robot friends, and they watch bad movies, and they make jokes on it. And they've gotten riff tracks blessings. There's the Red Letter Media guys up in Wisconsin who do Half in the Bag and also Best of the Worst now, which, by the way, the last episode of Best of the Worst had Yor, the Manhunter from the Future on it. So that's where it made me think. It's like, there's got to be, like, the cream of the crop of bad movies that make the bad movie circuit. And I would love to just kind of, like, put together that collection. Maybe that's something I'll do for the website is...
I would like to know what it is so that we can pick stuff that people
haven't done. Like, I guarantee you,
And I guarantee you, I've got a couple on deck.
Yeah,
I think that we've done a pretty good job so far, I think.
We've hit a couple that people have touched on.
Yeah, well, like, nobody's done Sunny Boy, and that's our baby. That is our baby.
Yeah. That's the one, like, that's a white album. So you can't...
Yes.
It's like, I can't, like, it's like, I don't know if I'm, like, if I'm ready for it. It's like if you're gonna write a song or something for somebody and you're gonna play it for them, like, you gotta make sure that is, like, razor edge sharp. So to me, like, Sunny Boy needs to be, like, it's almost a series.
Ever do a final episode or epidose, it should be Sunny Boy.
A penultimate.
No, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Let's end this forever, like, and do that. That's great.
Let's retire, and then we could go out on the highest note possible.
Yes, and Tim will be singing that whistling note.
It's like a podcast suicide pack.
Oh my god! Yes, we'll be drinking the great Kool Aid with blankets over our faces and wearing Mickey sneakers.
Well, we decide not to do this. Let's just go out in the best possible way, which is, you know.
Or maybe I won't. I'm going to put my copy of it in a case, glass case on my wall.
Yeah, in case of emergency break.
Sorry for that quick aside. I was just like, I was enamored by... No, there's like a bad movie circuit now where they celebrate and they make fun of movies. And I feel like we're part of that, even though... our reach isn't as big as some of the other ones. We certainly have a niche and I'm comfortable in it. So
I like it. I may have expanded our niche by two people, but we'll find out.
Well, you know what?
And I might be able to expand it further. I have a person that might get us wider circulation.
Kinky. I'm getting wider circulation right now. Just thinking about it.
I'm ready to open
some
presents.
Let's get to some presents.
That's open.
Like I said, I got a boogie a little bit, so I gotta
open yours.
Again, sorry for the lateness of mine.
Well,
I get to
find out if Tim had any food in his gift and whether or not it went as bad as the Twinkie that I sent you. Did you get my Twinkie?
I did, and you know, this is what's bad is that I haven't opened it, and I'm kind of scared. And here's the other thing. I told Tim it's like I'm shedding some beef, as John Candy used to say. And so I'm haven't had, like, really any super duper like bad food and soda and bread. So I'm like, I don't know if that's what I want to, like, finally cheat on my good deed.
Yeah, I mean,
but so
save it for an epidose. Save it for an epidose. I want.
Yeah.
In case this ever has to bring up as evidence in court, I want to defend myself.
Yeah.
The great thing, like, is botulism. So don't, well, don't too scared. I could just think because I'm pretty sure you're gonna get some level of food poisoning.
Well, that's the thing is like they'll find me and they'll be like, oh my god, he had Sunny Boy on a loop playing and he ate an old black Twinkie.
he's ascended to heaven now.
Yeah.
Heaven, one case you eat a black
heaven's Twinkie. Basement.
You eat a black Twinkie and it gives you superpowers. That was the secret.
So, oh my god. That's a trauma movie. That sounds like a trauma movie, doesn't it? Like you eat a bad Twinkie that a friend sends you and suddenly you have amazing
powers. That might actually be Troma's channel on YouTube has full length Troma movies on it, so you should check
that out. Why aren't we writing movies for Troma?
Yeah.
Those probably pay like tens of $20, probably. I mean,
yeah. You
like, get all the black Twinkies.
Yeah, black Twinkies. Yeah. That's a good band name. Anyway, so John, since you're anyway. You're first.
Okay, so you want me to open Tim?
It doesn't matter. Whatever. Pick one.
Okay, I'm prepared and I cut. Okay, so Tim's, it sounds like there's a bunch of stuff that's exploded in it.
Don't worry about that.
Is it ticking still? Okay.
So, oh, whoa, no way. This is terrifying. I can't even say this. This is the NWA, the only home video, spend an hour with NWA. And I can't even read this because it says EFIL for Zay. Ill Forsaken. It's like that old game show with the bumpers. It's called Bumper Stumpers when you had a read.
Oh, God. Or read. What's the one with the pictures? Concentration. No.
Yeah, well, this has the... It says Ill Forsaken. It's spelled EFIL 4 ZAGGIN. Ill Forsaken. And it's featuring the explicit music videos and home movies you won't see anywhere else. I actually will probably watch this.
Nice.
Because I'm just kind of curious. Because it's, I remember, like,
don't you my friend spend an hour with NWA?
Yeah. Well, my friend Ben and I, we used to complain about hip hop music when we were kids. We used to say, like, those guys just brag and talk. They don't really back anything up. And then now they do. So now I'm kind of like, I kind of miss those days. But okay. So I thank you. That's an amazing gift. I will really watch that. And then I got a 3-count of Batman treat containers. And it's amazing looking Batman head. They're like the Batman head, and it's amazing because he looks very stern. It's actually a pretty good cast of Batman. Thank you. Those are actually, I'll put my vitamins in it.
Nice.
So, and then I got a bag of plastic dudes.
Woo!
Like a whole bunch of like horses and cowboys and Indians, and
I think I bought them because those were borderline racist.
They just, yeah, I just saw a couple of them. I'm like, whoa! I was like, I don't know if you get. And there's another video here at the bottom.
Ooh. Mind your fingers when you stick your hand in there, but
there's something called Too Much Sun. Oh, this is the most bizarre cast ever. It's Robert Downey Jr., mm-hmm. Eric Idle,
yes.
Ralph Macchio, Andrea Martin, and someone named Leo Rossi.
Wow. What's it about?
And it's a zany comedy of sexual confusion among the very rich.
Oh, wow.
And this is,
two eccentric children are used to the good life, but a crooked priest murdered their father. They learn they'll lose their $200 million inheritance unless one of them produces an heir within a year. Wow. This looks
this is coked up Robert Downey Jr. time. So,
yeah, he looks super young in it. And Ralph Macchio is like, yeah, that looks like Sean Young.
Wow.
It does look like a lot like Sean. Yeah, that looks like this could possibly like be like an 80s. Oh, and there's another video in here.
Oh,
oh no, this one. Oh, jeez. Stranger dangers. Get a street smart, a kid's guide. And, oh my god, this is so disturbing. It's this video. It's this weird looking alien that's wearing overalls. And it says a Sean McNamara film, which is learn with corny ways kids can avoid kidnappers. that's a little threat. And it's like an alien, but it's just like a kid. And it looks, it's this must-see film features a lovable yet gullible Capricorn, Earth's first alien exchange student. Corny, as his Earth friends call him, falls prey to countless tricks strangers use to kidnap children.
Oh my God. Corny had a long, sad life.
What's sad, too, is it's like it was made in 1995. So it's like, did we not know better at this point?
I've seen Corny before. He pops up in the found footage people stuff sometimes.
Yeah, he does look somewhat. Oh, wow. And liquor magnets. There's these magnets that are just like. They're liquor magnets, and whatever just says XO Cognac on it.
I forgot.
And then this one says Cognac, produce, and it doesn't say product, it says produce of China.
Produce of China.
And then there's an old, oh my God, that's bizarre. Boy, this thing's kind of, this box is, woo! Oh, good, I got an internet. And an international wrist support. It's a wrist guard with an American flag.
What the hell?
It's pretty awesome. It looks like Hulk Hogan wore it in the 80s. It's amazing. There's some bolts in the bottom. But here's the, oh, this is the big thing. Can you hear this? Can you hear that?
Yeah.
It's a game called Solar Quest.
Uh-oh.
The Space Age Real Estate Game. Are all the pieces in here, Tim?
I think so. All the pieces are in there. I checked it, I think.
Oh, that looks kind of badass. I like board games. And board games are pretty fun. Well, you know what, dude? This looks pretty fun. I'm totally going to play this, and we're going to, and I'll write about it.
Yeah.
I wish I've been being, you know, it's heavy, too, man. And, you know, like, board games now feel kind of, like, light and easy. That one feels solid. Like the cardboard's super solid.
Maybe it'll actually last a while.
And then, oh man, then I got some records. Oh dude, it's kind of sweet. Oh boy, this is a how fast them trucks can go. Various artists. Claude Gray, yes, Trucker 18 Wheels, A Hummin' Sweet Home, Truck Driving Son of a Gun by Red Sovine, nice. Moving On, A Tombstone Every Mile, 6 Days on the Road. I know 6 Days on the Road.
Nice.
Because, you know that song? Like, 6 Days on the Road, and then I'm going to make it home to you. Little Joe's on here. So Red Sovine, Little Joe. And then another record of... A story of the Dracula, the Wolfman, and Frankenstein. And it looks like it's one of those that you flip.
Yeah, I think so.
Ooh, there's a giant V for victory scratch into this record. That will probably not play. But the art is really cool on it. It really is. I have a big book of Marvel horror, like the Tomb of Dracula and all that old stuff. And then, a bunch of buttons in here. Oh, sweet. And then a Batman and the Red Tornado, Brave and the Bold.
Yep.
Very nice. And then, oh, that's part of one of my cards. There's a card for Phobos. Then there's some screws in there.
Screws?
Are those, yeah, oh, that must be, I bet you that's part of the, yeah, there's screws in there.
Oh, you know what?
Those are, oh, those are token pieces from the game.
They go with your game.
Oh, this is an amazing button. It says, I've been to the Cosby Show, Brooklyn, New York. That's awesome. And then, oh, dude, Wyatt Cafeteria. Then there's a button that says, cooking the old-fashioned way, Wyatt Cafeteria is from scratch. I love Wyatt. Ooh, there's an old sucker in here. What is that? It's like Mexican candy? Like
it's Mexican candy. It's perfect.
Yeah. Which is apropos. And then I got two buttons left in here. I've got Air Capital Train Show, Wichita, Kansas, which that button looks vaguely. Oh my God. This is, oh my God. I can't say this either. This is so racist. There's two Elmer Fudds wearing camouflage and they have muscles and guns and camouflage headbands, and it says, "Be very, very quiet. We are hunting Iwaki." It's the crazy, and there's two, and they have red eyes. Oh my god.
How does that
man, you know, well, it's crazy. It's that crazy, weird, patriotic racism. But you know how people like have those like the monkey curse and stuff. Like when they have something there, like I gotta get that out of my house. Well, I'm gonna start growing a mullet or something. Oh my god, that's so weird. Thank you, Tim. As usual, an amazing job. It's I take it this was the the annex or
this was this was a big flea market. Was this all big flea market? It might have been all big flea market.
Okay. Oh, the Coliseum one?
No, the monthly flea market out of the Coliseum. This might have been. Oh,
okay.
I did all my shopping there.
Nice.
I might have picked up some additional items at. I know it was both. I did the monthly flea market for my shopping and the existing every weekend flea market to round things out.
Excellent. Well, I guess go ahead and when you guys open one for me. Or you could both open yours for me, and then...
Might go ahead and open yours. I'll have mine ready.
Ooh, what, are you taking off your pants first? What?
No, I'll have...
So I tried to do kind of themes, like a little bit of themes that kind of curtail. And I realized, I forgot to put a couple things here, and I also have something original for each of you, which I need to finish, and then I'll send.
Ooh. All right, well, I'm opening it up, and what's this? Guaranteed laughs, caught by surprise. Oh, wow.
Do you guys remember those videos they used to show at night? Like, I want to say it was around 2000. And they were expensive. They were, like, $29.95, but they were supposed to be these racy, non-censored videos that I found them.
2002. And due to nudity and adult content, you must be 18 or older to view this program.
Yeah, and once you watch it, they're all I don't know where they should, but somewhere in Europe, it's very yeah. So that's one of them.
Oh wow! And then Johnny Legend presents Sleaze Mania, the special edition featuring highlights and previews from the sleaziest, silliest, and sickest movies ever made. Married Too Young, Curfew Breakers, Jailbait. Pin down girls, what? I Change My Sex, The Flesh Merchants. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Johnny Legend, actually one of the last toy shows that I went to, he was there, and he collects, like, films, but he's a strange-looking dude.
Ooh.
It's, yeah. But...
Yeah, check this out. Oh, wait. Hold on. Oh, man. Yeah! Hell yeah, rock and wrist, electric guitar. Look out, world. Woo! Sleaze Mania.
He's shredding.
My nephew's had those in there a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my fingers are tired. Yeah! Thank you, Cleveland! Alright, what it says here? Packaging. Newspaper. Ooh. Oh, wait. Oh, air package. That's cool. Alright, let's get this. Yes! A stoke in a mug that's a bottom. Oh, wow. So, is this like a shot glass? Or what is it? It is. It's a shot glass. Right, it's a bikini, a yellow bikini, a flesh-colored bikini.
Well, I wanted to get you a coffee, like a cow one, like Harry Dean Stanton had in Flatbed Inn, but instead I found that, and I put them. There should be a stoke in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's a stoke out there. Yeah. You know what's amazing?
Right,
I actually have a shot glass that's boobs. So this stack with this is almost complete.
Oh man, keep the classy.
I always keep the classy.
Oh my god.
That's awesome.
This is And when you pass away, like your great grandchildren would be like, Grandpa had a lot of bikini mugs. He had a lot of strange mugs.
Ooh, yeah. I think one of the stuff kind of opened up in the package, too.
Oh, sorry. That's what I was afraid of. I was like, eh, no.
Well, there's a little damage on this thing. Let me open it up. Oh. Oh. Oh, yes! Godzilla! Hell yeah. That's Mecha King Ghidorah. That's the larva of Mothra. There's Gigan, and Rodan. Yeah, and Godzilla. Awesome. That reminds me, did you get the, art by?
I just did. I just got it yesterday. So I haven't opened it up and plugged it all in yet.
Well,
I found
a hard drive, and there's some stuff already on there that I went ahead and left on there for you. So,
excellent.
We're going to keep that on the down low, if you know what I mean. So... so you get to see a giant lizard and some Godzilla movies.
Excellent.
So all right, next. Oh, Rico Tovar, Isu Costa Azul. You are blue costs.
We found that at the the San Jose flea market.
That's why it sounded familiar.
Oh, wow. Yeah. 1993, and the guy's hairstyle looks like from the early 80s.
It was so strange. I saw it, and I told Tim, I'm like, is it insulting if I go? Because it was $1. And I was like, is it insulting if I buy this? Because they know that I'm probably buying it as, like, to be silly, and that I'm not being sincere. And Tim was like, you're overthinking it.
So the picture of this guy is pretty much... Gorilla Monsoon with long flowing black hair and an open shirt.
Yeah. And he looks like he's kind of short too, doesn't he?
Yeah. It looks like he's sitting on a drum. Oh, he's sitting on a hammock, and it's just like a baby hammock, and he just looks giant. Oh, that's amazing. All right, next movie, Monster Pack. Ooh. Godzilla versus Biollante, which I have on VHS. This is DVD version. That's nice. Sweet. Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Which is always good. Mega Piranha. Yes. There's nudity in that one. Giant Gila Monster, which is the Mystery Science Theater 3000 classic. The Land That Time Forgot, which I think actually was a classic. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
See Thomas Howell's in that one.
What's so strange about those movie packs is they'll put some really good films in there among some really bad ones. And it's fun to weed through some of those. Like those horror collections and stuff, you could be like, well, this is crap, but like, oh, this is a really good, you know, Hammer Christopher Lee film I've never seen, you know. So
let's see here. Yeah, and then Survivor, which looks pretty cool. Monster. Which is not the Gareth Edwards version, but it is the Japanese one, which is cool. And then Monster Maker, of course, you gotta have the mad scientist injects a concert pianist with a serum that causes acromegaly, bone destroying disease. What is that? Is that. Who was that? That was, I think. Is that. Oh, God. Is that the one with, what's his face? Peter,
Peter Cushing?
No, well, yeah, is that Peter Cushing? Oh, I gotta look it up now. No, it's the short, impish, black hair guy. The guy who was, the partner for...
Oh, Peter, Lurie, Peter, Lurie. Peter Lurie. Yeah, but he was also, they used him in Bugs Bunny cartoons, too,
yeah.
And he was like, yeah, they did the big eyes, yeah.
He was in The Raven as well, which is a great movie. Man, I gotta look up, because this, the Mad Monster Maker? No. At any rate, I'll find out and report back. But I remember seeing some guy, someone listed it as like a good movie to watch or something, like just for Peter Lorre's performance alone, where he was like chillingly creepy. It was, I think it might have been an Any Cool News 30 Days of Horror thing, and they talked about this movie specifically, perhaps. I don't know. I'll have to find out. Anyway, moving on. Yes, Doctor Who.
the comic that I put in there goes back to one of my favorite characters, Jamie.
Except he's really old.
And it's really sad. It's actually a pretty sad Doctor Who story.
Oh.
Like, you see what happened to Jamie, like, after, like, they parted ways, the Doctor and Jamie. And it's written by Grant Morrison, who's one of my favorite writers.
Nice.
Strange writer, but in a magazine.
Oh, cool. Doctor Who classics. I haven't seen any of the comic books. The Big Finish Audio Productions is canon. And I don't know if the comic books are, but I'm interested. This looks pretty cool. Because I heard like a lot of the Colin Baker stories ended up being pretty good, like after the TV show. Like, and that's the other thing that's kind of cool is how expanded universe kind of expands on all these different Doctor stories. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks. And then the magazine, yeah.
No.
Patrick Troughton tribute issue. Well, this must have been right when he died.
Yeah. He's still one of my favorites.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He was the one that was modeled off of what Matt Smith liked a lot. These are some old-ass pictures. Oh, that's so cool. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. you got everything in there?
Uh-huh.
I think that's everything.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. That's it. All right, Tim, overpricing team.
All right. Let's see. John Box here.
I have some opening music.
Let's see here. Well, this one is wrapped newspaper, and the headline on the outside wrapping says abortion.
Oh, geez.
Let's see what. Hey, Valley Girl.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's because you know why I put Valley Girl in there too, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because we watched some of it, and we're like, boy, this is an awful movie. When Tim was visiting, we were like, wow, this is bad. The acting is absolutely atrocious.
Oh, let's see here. Ooh, let's see, that's a nice one. That's a good copy of it. And let's see here. Uh-oh. Oh, no. What is this? Oh, Guaranteed to Offend, One Night with Dice. Oh.
And part of that is why I got that is because, and I watched a little bit of it, and it's really kind of, because Tim was interested in there's a Dice album out, and I remember listening to it when it's just like him just working out new stuff and kind of losing his mind, and it's really a strange comedy record. And then, but there's parts of it in that where he's really making the crowd kind of uncomfortable, but not like in a funny way, but they're just kind of like, huh? So you should enjoy that one. So
there we go. And let me go further. What is this? Oh, wait a minute.
You have a dueling.
Oh,
yeah.
And look at that finish up over there.
Thank you, Cleveland.
And let's see what we got here. We got a little package here, and this says, ooh, brain dead zombies, grow a zombie. Glow in the dark, grows up to 600%. Oh, shit, this is going to be a real zombie.
No, I grew two of them, and they get pretty big, and you can shrink them, and they get, and I gave you the special one because it's actually colored, because mine are just glow in the dark, but that one's, like,
this one's got, yeah, he's got Hulk pants on.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means underneath grow zombie. It says zombie croissant.
Huh?
It says grow zombie, and then there's a white line. I don't know if it's a different language, but it says zombie croissant.
Yeah, they're cool, because I've grown a couple. I gave them out for Halloween, too.
It will slowly shrink back to original size, can be used again and again. Perfect.
Yeah, it's fun. You can enjoy it. It's
I can enjoy it again and again.
And again, it's right.
And then there's a...
And I will.
There is a little something here. It looks like R2-D2. And I see a pen or see a light? What's
that? Yeah, it's a pen.
All right. I can scribble some R2-D2. Nice. Let's see what we got in here. Oh, boy. This, oh, yes, yeah, right in my alley right here. It's a Peter Griffin. You put candy in and he craps him out of his butt.
That's going on your desk at work.
Can you put jelly beans in and then
he poops them out
on the ground?
Nice.
Well, I bought a pooping penguin for my mom one year, and she thought that was hilarious. And I was like, oh my god, they have a pooping penguin.
Boy, yeah, I'm gonna have him crapping jelly beans
in no time.
And let's see, got a tape in here, and we have guaranteed hot and sexy laughs uncensored.
Yeah, that's the companion piece to the, you know, the double feature of Just Kidding or whatever it was called.
Gotcha. Ooh, it's like Can't Do It Till Me Glasses. Let's see, we got a DVD, and we've got the Midnight Horror Collection. Ooh, and it's all zombies. Oh, yep. I got some.
That's why I tried to theme him like Hope, Godzilla, and you zombies.
Oh boy, Night of Living Dead. No surprise there. That's a good. That should be on there. Teenage Zombies, King of the Zombies, White Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, Last of the Living.
Yeah.
Obviously. High and Creep, Zombie Dearest, Waken the Dead, I Am Omega. Ooh, yeah, I'll be watching
Zombie Dearest.
It's got a really strange mix. It's like that thing where it's like you've got like a classic like Night of the Living Dead, and then you've got some schlock, and then you've got some stuff that's kind of unheard of.
Well, there's like some 2009, there's some 2000s, there's some definitely some black and whites.
Yeah.
And we got a May the Force Be With You button from but it doesn't look like it's licensed by Lucasfilm, but you won't worry about
that's
that.
That's so weird that we both sent buttons.
Well, buttons are fun. Let's see. Ooh, Marvel Zombies 5. Nice. Ooh.
Yeah, that was one of those things, and I'll warn you, like, the first, like, two Marvel Zombies are really good, but then after a while, it was beating a dead horse.
This is the Howard the Duck one.
Yeah. And
it's good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a decent read.
I enjoyed Marvel Zombies. Ooh, very nice. Ooh, I think.
That, you got everything out of it?
I think that is my box.
Excellent.
Tear in, sir.
All right, so I got to probably do this one, and I probably got a boogie. But it'll be good because then I can actually see, like, what the last one of yours, like, online, or you can post, or I'll just listen. And this year we're much more coherent than we were last year.
Yeah, I'm not drinking any alcohol during this one.
Oh, man. But you did have some goulash.
Oh, yeah. Goulash tacos.
All right, so I'm opening it. It feels like there's some heavy-duty stuff in here. Okay, it's a picture frame. I have a picture of Hokey.
Yeah, that's right.
This is amazing. And it's been... he's holding up a G.I. Joe, which I love that G.I. Joe toy. That was one of my favorite, the Dreadnought Swamp thing, the Swamp Rookie. And it says, John, Merry Christmas from your threadbare butt, because in Hokie's like pajamas, you can kind of see through.
it's the threadbare sweatpants.
Oh my god. Ouch. Oh my god. I'm getting a Wilford Brimley laugh. I'm laughing. Holy crap, that's funny. Oh my god. And there's a book. Oh, very nice. This is, oh, yuck, the Encyclopedia of Everything Nasty. And on the front it says, acne, ants, bats, blood, body lint, body odor. It's, this doesn't look good. Oh, it looks good, too. Oh, yeah. Excellent. And, is that a clicker? Yeah, I got a clicker, like, which is funny that you would give me a clicker, because I used to have to, when working the door, you used to have to use them.
Yeah, it's like a counter, it just counts up. And then I forgot what it does to
me. So I can make... Oh, nice, and an Adam LaRoche bobblehead? That's pretty badass. From the Pittsburgh Pirate, which is cool because it's from the PNC Park. Which is a beautiful park. I've never been there. 2007 Adam LaRoche. Nice. I'm like super excited about. Oh, this is actually. Oh man, this I can't ass kicking habanero popcorn, microwavable popcorn. Is this good, Hokie? Have you had
yes,
it?
Yes, it's great.
Oh man, I'm so gonna have to make that up one of these days. And then Duncan, you. Oh man, it's so funny that you got a yo-yo. Actually thought the other day, like, hey. And then I got a Duncan yo-yo, and then, ooh. I got excited because at first I saw that it's classic features of 20 movies, Mean Guns. And then the first I saw it, I was like, was this the Time Life books? And I was like, he once shot a man personal. But it's just featuring Terrence Hill, Lee Van Cleef, Donald Sutherland, Leslie Nielsen, Fred Williamson, and more.
Yeah.
So on the back, it has Any Gun Can Play, The Kids' Range War, Boot Hill, Buffalo Stampede, Dan Candy's Law, which is Donald Sutherland, Day of the Wolves, Dead Aim, Deadwood 76. Where's Terrence in here, though? I'm trying to see which movie is that with our... With,
oh, it's
Boot Hill. Boot Hill? Okay. So have you seen some of these?
No, I've seen Boot Hill.
You know what's interesting is there's one in here with Richard Mole.
That's awesome. I didn't.
Yeah, it's called Savage Journey. This is in the tale of the origins of the Mormon Church. Settlers head west to the land of promise in spite of the many perils and hardships.
So Bull Shannon from Night Court was a Mormon settler.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you so much. And thank you for the hard drive. That picture is amazing. I'm gonna. That should go. I don't know if that should go on the desk. Yeah, it should go on. Definitely go on my desk.
That's a good one.
It's just so funny, and it's just I can't. What's weird about your expression on your face is that you're kind of happy, but you're kind of going, huh? And at the same time, oh man, that's amazing. Thank you so much. And like I said, I still have a couple things that I forgot to send you guys that I will put. I've got to put finishing touches, and it will be hopefully something you will display in your den,
yeah.
Or your movie house. So anyhow, well, I got a boogie, so I've. I will, yeah, well, I guess we'll figure out our next pick and all that good
who's
stuff,
it,
like,
pick
you know,
is it?
Via
whose
text.
Pick is it next?
It is, I think it's Mr. John's pick, actually.
It's mine, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
It is. I got to do some thinking. All
right.
So, I mean, I'm trying to go, like, I want to go something kind of a little bit different genre than what we've done.
Ooh,
so.
Well, I'm look forward on the Facebook page, perhaps either the... Twitter about what the next one will be.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what it should be, but it needs it. I've been watching too many horror films, so I don't want to go down that route. And it's like, and the problem is like I don't want to pick some. But I mean, like you know, like Radical Jack was a great pick.
Yeah, it was painful, but it was right
yeah.
On money.
Yeah, that was like, you know, hitting a 450-foot home run. It was perfect for what it was. So.
Yeah!
Oof. Oh,
wait a second. Wait, just before you go, just a second. You can tell your friends that the smell will never end. And the joke about my farting on that bowl. You can tell my buddy.
I leave a bagel skin mark in my pants.
Wow.
All right. Well, I've met a boogie. I will talk to you guys, and I will look forward to finding out the last gift.
Yes, and we'll continue in the Gonzamas tradition where hopefully I won't be drunk rambling on, like the last one.
Or maybe it needs to be a better tradition. Maybe we need to do that tradition. All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Woo!
All right.
Well, we got two more left. And yes, in Gonzamas tradition, you and I are carrying on through into hour. We're heading to hour two. But we're not going to make three. I think that's a record.
Oh, no, I don't think so. But all right. Why don't you go ahead and turn?
All right. I'll go ahead and turn. Oh, man.
I don't remember what I put in some of these
boxes. I didn't either. I forgot about that picture. That's amazing.
Great.
And it was threadbare. Alright. Okay, here we go. Alright, I'm gonna start from left. Oh god. Leslie Nielsen's Bad Golf, My Way.
There we go. Yes.
Oh wow. It's so much better than Dwarf on Golf.
No, it's going to be 100% better. It's Leslie Nielsen. You know he's going to use his partner.
Sister Cana Lupe laughing out loud with the Lord.
Was that a tape? What was that?
Dedicated to the memory of my brother. It's a tape. It's laughing out loud with the Lord. Hey. I might send if or the Sister Found Footage guys come into town, I'm giving this to them. That's the other thing. That's another bad. Well, that's a different kind of bad movie circuit. Anyway, oh, you've gone and done it now. You've just opened up a copy of the funniest album in years. They said album, and it's a freaking VHS tape. Anyway, that's awesome. And of course, international wrist support, one size fits all.
There you go.
Yeah, I just said
U.S.
I need that for my hand.
Spirit. The spirit of the Olympics.
Yes, and Sochi. And then we got Microwave by Donovan John Fondra, the TV host and author of Microwaves for Cooking. The guy, that is like Basher Cooking defined right there. Wow. Microwave for Cooking.
Yep, that'll get going.
By the way, there is no book.
Don't worry about that.
It's full of shit. I'll get this to the wife. Hopefully I won't get my ass kicked. Woohoo! What's this? It is Paletta Limon 7.
It's a sucker of some kind.
It is an English language or Spanish language sucker. Alright. But yes. Liquor magnets. I had never had Old Master Defy, by the way.
Yeah, those are handy little bags.
Awesome, that's put on the fridge. Right. And then buttons. Ask me about New Holland Oil. I dared to write Orient Express, World of Fun. Which, by the way, I've never written. Give me five or tell me why, Profit Systems Incorporated. Ask me about my air signal pager.
I bet you're an IT guy.
Oh, wow. Catholic schools, dividends for life. It also happens to be the smallest one. What else we got? Oh, here's the one I'm going to wear. I've gone zany. Amazing. And then, all right. Oh, more racist plastic toy men. There are cowboys and Indians on horses in a teepee. There's an Indian shooting an arrow, not unlike the Indian that you're supposed to get a free Tootsie Roll Pop from if you see it on the wrapper, which is always nice. Oh, very cool. I will set this up. They're all, like, different colors.
They're all kinds of colors. All
right. Oh, albums. The Kindles. Heaven's Just a Sin Away. Oh, God. Let the music play. Yes. Top Hit. Jerry, Heaven's Just Sent Away. Live and Let Live. Let the Music Play. You're My Man. I wonder if Let the Music Play is the theme to Fraggle Rock. Anyway.
The Music Play.
Fat Larry's Band. Nice. And the album cover is a picture of Lady Andre. And her boots are spilling over her corset. Oh, wow! And then look at Fat Larry on the back.
I know.
Jesus, it's like it's awesome. Like Fats Domino and Little Richard melded to form Fat Larry. Because literally, he's got the makeup caked on and the curly hair, Jerry Curl, like Little Richard. But he's as big as... Oh, and you know what? They messed up the label. Oh, this is amazing. So on side two, they have like a sticker over the side two because they messed it up. So it's like the same track listing. Ooh, I wonder... Oh, I'm not going to peel it off yet. I wonder what they messed up. So, all right, next, Avengers, King Size Annual. Sweet. Captain America totally defeated. Spider-Woman, Daring Midnight Rescue.
Yeah, the giant size are actually pretty. I'm sure that one's beat up, but those are usually pretty interesting.
1981. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And they meet the Uncanny X-Men. And then we have the Undertaker bear. Oh, wow. Lord of Darkness teddy bear. What the hell?
Lord of Darkness. Yeah.
The man from the dark side has one goal. The Reign Supreme is the World Wrestling Federation champion January 99. And it's a stuffed bear. It just says Undertaker on it. And then it says Lord of Darkness on the back. Because when I think of darkness, and especially someone lording over it, I think of a stuffed teddy bear. And then, finally, it's Las Vegas Junket. Come with us to number one entertainment and gambling capital of the world. See and feel all the excitement in Las Vegas when you play blackjack, crap, poker, roulette, baccarat, big wheel, and those wonderful slot machines. What? All right, I'm opening this up.
It's something else, man.
What the hell? Whoa, crazy. Gambler, slots, blackjack, craps. Oh, so you draw a card and then it's like...
Yeah, like your room rate goes up and stuff. It's really weird.
Oh. Hotel registration. Where's the bunny ranch on this board?
I don't know if that's in there. That's a bonus.
Yeah, that might be an expansion pack. That's awesome, man. Thanks.
Hey.
Las Vegas Junket.
Let's get this one open here. Undertaker
bear.
I see a green symbol.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably.
What is that? Retro Action Superheroes Guy Gardner. That's awesome. I love Guy Gardner.
I forgot which one that you like. That was a pretty chance.
Oh, I like the whole Green Lantern thing, but this is the old school Guy Gardner with the bowl cut.
Nice.
Awesome. That's a cool series. I forgot that it's from they're from 2010, but they make them kind of like the old Mego dolls, which are awesome.
They renewed Arrow for another season on CW, and they're bringing back the Flash. Hmm. So they're going to have a Flash TV show, I think, soon.
Yeah, they can try another one, I guess. Yeah, it's a weird mix of characters because, like, it's retro Sinestro, but he's in the Sinestro Corps War outfit.
It's weird.
They have two Sinestros in that line. That's interesting. Ah, cool. And, ooh, what's this? Oh, Jesus. Laser karaoke. Sing along. Oh, God, I'm going to have to buy another. Well, you know what? I have a laser disc player. Screw it. I can play this.
Yes! So, you know, if Gonzo Guys goes down south, you can always start a burgeoning business of Laserdisc karaoke.
Everybody come see about me. I'm sorry, baby, I need your loving. Oh, boy. 66 volume 12. No shit. I have a Laserdisc player that can play this.
Oh, wow. You gotta let me know if they have cheesy music videos.
I'm gonna have to, yeah. I'll be firing that up. I haven't put my office together all the way, but...
I bought a Laserdisc player just to watch some old Tex Avery cartoons. So. Oh, I see a framed picture. I'm pulling that out.
Yes.
Oh my God, those are throwbacks.
You can see my tighty whities.
Right there in the junk area.
Yes.
It's almost like you're wearing like a unitard. But those are some those are sweatpants? I can see your skin tone. That's not good. You're wearing your tighties, though. Like a proud man. And a collared shirt. That's always good.
Yes.
I'm trying to get a good look. Yep. That is, God, what the fuck is that guy's name? Oh, I can't read that because my eyes suck anymore. Ah, who is that in there? It's a dreadnought.
Yeah, I forgot. I never...
Oh, that's nice. That might have to go up. That'll raise questions.
Yes, that'll have to go up because it raised concerns and questions.
It'll raise questions. Ooh, and I see some... Ooh, ass-kicking habanero popcorn. Yes, I will eat that. And, ooh, what's this? What's this? Bubble wrap, a movie or something. What is this? It's a DVD. Oh, boy. The Thunderbirds.
Yes!
Oh, yes. Inspiration for Team America. Oh, God. Yeah, I'll be watching these, too.
We got to report back on some of these movies that we have now.
Mark Parker's Ricochet. This is like... God, the fact that there's even six sets of these is just crazy.
Yes.
Nice. I watched the Thunderbirds with my Green Lantern toy. What's this here? Ooh. Ah, silicone cases for the Wii controllers.
Yay! I forgot where I found that, too.
I don't know, but I'm gonna... It says Goodwill on it.
I think I got it at Goodwill.
Well, I just fired up the Wii on the new HDTV.
Ooh,
so
nice.
Put some protectors on my controllers while I play Castlevania on a big screen.
Nice!
And, ooh, a mystery Atari game. Did you plug this
sucker
in?
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't. I don't know if it works.
It probably does. There's a battery case.
I got it at Goodwill, so I'm assuming it does.
I've gotten a little handy at repairing electronics. So
I think it's got like some Atari games in it or something.
Oh, it probably got a buttload of Atari games in it. Yes. It's the Atari I'm familiar with, which was one-button joystick style.
Hell yeah, this is the only way to go.
That would be the Atari 2600.
Not the one with the goofy. Yeah. The one that, not the one that also supported the goofy ass keypad.
No. That was a 7800, I think. 2600 was like the original one, and my brother won it for working at McDonald's.
Wow. Wait,
they gave away.
I was gonna say he won it. He said, "Congratulations, you work for McDonald's. Here's your prize."
And he got like they had a contest for the employees or something. And he won an Atari 2600, and he didn't give two craps about it. So I took over and played that thing. Nice. But no, this one had the Atari 2600 had the little paddles where you turn the dial, but if you played like Pong or something. But nice, that was a nice little fall right there. Look at that. Ooh. I think that was my. I think that was my box. Yeah. Nice. I'm so happy I got a picture. Now I'm gonna totally fire up that laser karaoke. So I just, it totally makes buying that laser disc.
That's awesome.
That thing weighs like 9 tons too. Oh,
you can and does it have the RCA jack output so you can record it onto your?
No, I can record anything. Yes, and I can run out your RCA out. I bought it from a college. It was getting rid of
nice.
It.
Nice.
It's like extra. It has like a 20-foot cord on it because it was used in like, you know, like to show stuff. Oh yeah, so I'll dump it into the computer so you can see it. I also have to dump in the old high school footage.
Uh-oh.
I got the camcorder ready to roll. All you gotta do is pump that 30-minute tape and you can watch yourself play soccer.
Woo-hoo!
And you're hating.
Yes, that's right. Gonza guys, we ourselves make bad movies.
Apparently we do, and I had to buy a camcorder to play the tape I taped on because I bought the Betamax version of a camcorder tape.
That's right. Only at Gonzo Guys we use the latest in technology.
I want to watch this. You have to buy the equipment, so I did.
Oh man! Woo! So that's a pretty good gift exchange there.
Yes, it was. That was a hefty gift exchange.
Yes, man, I'm excited. New movies. I finally get to learn how to use my microwave, and then I also will get to look at some cheeky laugh joke VHS tapes, which is always a treat, especially when I get to jam out while doing it. Yeah!
Wait a minute.
I'm gonna name that guitar Radical Jack. It's a wrap.
What shall we go out on? Do you want the big old smelly fart? The achy breaky two?
Oh, I'm a big old smelly fart.
Big old smelly fart it is.
So don't fast forward on Radical Jack.
No.
Thanks for celebrating Gonzo Times Day. Gonzo.
Whoa, there you go.
All that other stuff.
Post pictures of our gifts at some point, probably in the next couple days.
Yes.
I'm gonna post a picture of Lazy Karaoke for sure.
I will get a good grouping together. The liquor magnets are going right on the fridge, so you're not gonna see any pictures of that. So sweet.
And we'll leave you with a better song than Achy Breaky 2.
Yes, remember next time, don't fast forward.
Don't fast forward.
You can tell the world I offend all of the girls, but you'll have to burn my boxers when I'm gone. You can tell your friends that the smell will never end, and the joke about my farting all night long. You can tell my bud, get back into that truck, just drive down with, just get away. Sounded like a roar. The odor lingered on for several days. So don't smell my farts, my big old smelly farts. Don't quite think you understand. I eat a big old plate of beans, and when I cut the cheese, I leave a big old skid mark in my pants. Enough to power this whole town, but I'm the one they say you just gotta stay away. When I fart, they evacuate the sound. So don't smell my farts, my big old smelly farts. Don't quite think you understand. I ate a big old plate of beans, and when I cut the cheese, I leave a big old skid mark in my pants. So don't smell my farts, my big old smelly farts. Don't quite think you understand. When I blow some cheese, it'll bring you to your knees. It almost killed the drummer in my band. So don't smell my fart.
parts, my big old smelly farts. Don't quite think you understand. I ate a big old plate of beans, and when I cut the cheese, I leave a big old skid mark in my pants.